This is the Benchwarmers Trivia Podcast. We have assembled the world's finest sports and trivia dorks to prove once and for all that we are just as bad at this as we were at sports.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Benchwarmers Trivia Podcast. Sports trivia for those of us who rode the pine. I'm your host, Matt Takimoto, and today's game, episode 245, will feature the Benchwarmer team of Josh Bombeck and David Lux against Benchwarmer Scott Grimes and our guest tonight and friend of the pod, Matt Coleman. Matt, you've been here a lot. We love you very much. Why don't you fill us in on how you're doing?
I'm doing pretty well. You know, not a whole lot's changed. Enjoyed the outcome of the Super Bowl recently, so that's been the best sports-related outcome of recent times, but I'm not just excited to be back.
Well, it's good to have you, and I wish that I had enjoyed the outcome of the Super Bowl, but alas, things happen. People make decisions on third down about play calls that I won't go on a diatribe about right now because we don't have the time. And Scott, how are you, and what is your team's name for this episode?
I'm doing well. Excited to be teamed up with Matt tonight. You know, if you can't beat him, join him. Matt recently took me out in a throwback trivia takedown play-in round. So I decided, let's just team up because, yeah, I'm smart and savvy. And, of course, I want to team up with people who beat me. So I'm excited about that. Happy to have him on. Our team is going to be derived from a couple different things. I know Matt's a big hip-hop fan. We've spoken about this on the podcast previously. So it went back to just kind of 90s hip-hop. You know, try to get a read on who some of his favorites were. And he mentioned Nas. And so I figured since there was technically two albums with similar names from Nas. And since his name is Matt and the person hosting is Matt, we're going to be Skillmatic.
All right. So it's Team Skillmatic. And Josh and David, how are you? And what is your team name?
I'll go first because I'll turn it quickly over to Josh so that he can give us the team name. And I'm doing well. Josh and I have not teamed up in a minute, as the youngsters say, but it's been a long time. Josh and I have only paired up three times total. I just had to check that.
Jeez. So anyway, yeah. So always love the taco game. So I'm really looking forward to playing tonight. And Matt, welcome. Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. So I'm doing all right. There was some pre-discussion before we started recording that David and I are two of the old guys, actually with Dan in the emeritus role. I think we are the two oldest guys. I don't think there's anyone else older than me.
Where are you compared to Doherty? I thought
Doherty is a year or two younger than me.
Ah, okay.
It's close, but yeah. I think I'm officially the second oldest. So there's some discussion about us being old, and then, you know, that there was discussion about old guys liking war stuff and history. So our team name today is going to be 4 Score and Too Many Years Ago.
Very nice. So we've got Skillmatic against 4 Score and Too Many Years Ago. We've got our team names. Let's kick it over to Benchwarmer Emeritus Dan for the rules.
The game will consist of 4 quarters of play, each with different trivia style. The styles of quarters 1 through 3 will change from show to show, and I will explain them as we go along. Like any good sporting event, we will have a halftime show after the second quarter with entertainment questions. And in the 4th quarter, our teams will wager from their points accumulated to see who are today's clipboard captains to be honored like the true benchwarmers they are. All right, let's get this game underway.
And this episode's first quarter will be pre and post game.
Pre and post game. For this quarter, there will be 4 before and after style questions. For example, if I said, what all-time leader in receptions for the Indianapolis Colts was a Notre Dame safety drafted by the Minnesota Vikings? The answer would be Marvin Harrison Smith. Each question is worth 25 points.
Question number one in pre and post game. Son of a number one pick who has moved via trades from Houston to Los Angeles to Philadelphia since July of 2023, and NHL goaltender who finished in the Vezina Trophy voting top 5 13 of 14 years from 1995-96 through 2009-10.
We'll check in.
Okay, four score and too many years ago has checked in. So Skillmatic, talk it up.
I think we just got there. Yeah, initially I was thinking baseball just because of July. A trade in July makes me think trade deadline, but I don't like moving so quickly like that is more of a basketball thing. So yeah, I was thinking number one picks. I mentioned Kenyon Martin Jr., which makes sense. He's the son of a number one pick, and I know he was on Houston. I didn't know where he was now, but that makes sense. And then, Matt, you've thrown in Martin Brodeur. So I think we'll do that. So we're going to check in. Kenyon Martin Brodeur, I guess is the way we'd say it. I guess we're omitting the junior. Not sure, but Kenyon Martin Brodeur.
And four score and too many years ago, what did you check in with?
Yeah, I'm not good with years, but specifically with hockey years. But for some reason, I went to try to figure out the goalie, and I came up with Martin Brodeur. And then I was like, who's the number one?
Hello, listeners. Due to some technical difficulties, we lost some of our audio. We did also check in with Kenyon Martin Brodeur.
It's by KJ, but he is Kenyon Martin Jr. So KJ Martin Brodeur. Yep, son of number one pick in 2000, Kenyon Martin. Yeah, he was on the Rockets and went from the Clippers to the 76ers as part of the James Harden trade in the fall. And then Martin Brodeur won four Vezina trophies in that span, 4 out of 5 years, actually, from 2002-2003 through 2007-08. And yeah, that's all I got for flavor text. Okay, question two in pre- and post-game. All three of his seasons with the New England Patriots are in the top 11 on the Patriots' single-season rushing yards list, and he is the 2017 NASCAR Cup Series champion.
Okay, we'll check in.
Okay, four score and too many years ago has checked in. Skillmatic, it's yours to talk about.
My head actually went to Corey Dillon first.
Same.
Because I know he was definitely only there 2 or 3 years, but he was very productive. But yeah, for the life of me, can't think of Dillon anything for NASCAR.
I mean, it's a name that definitely feels like it could fit a NASCAR driver, but I just can't think of one.
Yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely. And it's like the Patriots, they just haven't had a lot of guys that have they ever have guys that stuck around a long time and
right.
didn't do much, like Danny Woodhead, Kevin Faulk, those kind of guys, Deion Lewis, or they had guys that were there but just were part of a timeshare backfield, right? Like Stephen Ridley, random names like that. So I think it's further back, probably more so than recent.
Yeah.
Three of his seasons, which is why I thought Curtis Martin, because I know Martin Truex Jr. is at least.
That is definitively somebody who is a NASCAR driver and has won things.
I don't know how Curtis Martin could have only been there for three seasons, because I thought he was a free agent signing and it wasn't a trade when he went to the Jets. But it's a long time ago. I really don't remember the circumstances.
I don't either. It feels like he was there longer, but
it does.
I mean, I guess it would make sense.
Like, I can't imagine that he could, like, get out of his rookie deal in free agency after three seasons. So, again, I don't know if there were weird circumstances in the late 90s.
It could have been. He could have been hurt a season, I guess. I guess there are other.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's probably our best bet at this point in time.
I think so, too, just because NASCAR racers.
Yeah, like.
I can name a lot of them, but they're not going to fit anything. So, if you're good with it. For the sake of time.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, we're going to check in with Curtis Martin Truex Jr.
And four score and too many years ago, what did you have?
We have the same thing. Got to remember, if you're thinking like modern day NFL contracts in the draft, this is mid-90s. It wasn't as structured of like, you know, the first rounders get a four-year with a fifth-year, you know, option or whatever kind of thing. He very well could have had a 3-year contract coming out of, you know, his first contract. But yeah, so we also checked in with Curtis Martin Truex Jr., the other junior, not Ricky Stenhouse Jr.
Or Kenyon Martin.
No, front of who I had for a question out of the NASCAR juniors.
Which I think both teams incorrectly answered Martin Truex Jr.
Probably why
he was on my mind. Both teams are getting points here. It is Curtis Martin Truex Jr. Curtis Martin won Offensive Rookie of the Year In 1995, rushing for 1,487 yards, and then went over 1,100 in each of the next two seasons before moving to the Jets. Scott, Corey Dillon does have the single season rushing record in Patriots history, but didn't go over 1,000 in each of the other two seasons he was a Patriot. So good to get off of Corey Dillon there. Good job.
Scott's not the one who has a problem getting off of professional sports players.
Question three in pre and post game. He ranks in the top five all time in head coaching wins for both Kansas State and South Carolina basketball, and ranks in the top two all time in career points for both the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Vermont Catamounts. Okay. Skillmatic has checked in. Four score and too many years ago. You can talk it out.
Yeah. So the first half is definitively Frank Martin. Out of the guy, I just always love that guy because he always looks like he's ready. I don't even know if he's still coaching. He's not still South Carolina, is he? Anyway, his head always looked like he was ready to explode. I mean, his head was just, he was going to blow a blood vessel. So if it's Frank Martin in the first half, then the second half is
St. Louis.
Yeah, I didn't remember that he was a Vermont Catamount, but that makes sense.
He was with the Lightning. That's all I know.
Yeah. Okay. So there you go. Okay. We will check in with Frank Martin, St. Louis.
And Skillmatic, what did you check in with?
We came to the same conclusion with old Frankie Martin, St. Louis.
And both teams are getting points. It is Frank Martin, St. Louis. Frank Martin is an active men's basketball coach. He is currently at UMass. In case you were interested or wanted to know for
I think I did know that. Yeah.
Gambling purposes or something. I don't know. Sports gambling is important to some people on this podcast. Anyway, the final question in the first quarter, NASCAR driver, two NASCAR questions in one quarter, two NASCAR questions and two hockey questions in one quarter. We are really just killing it tonight. NASCAR driver who never won a Cup Series championship, but did win the 1994 and 1995 Daytona 500s, and MLB journeyman who presumably flew from team to team, or maybe he swam, with over 150 career home runs, who made his only All-Star team in 2010 representing the National League.
We'll check in.
Four score and too many years ago has checked in. Skillmatic, talk it out.
I think you're right with Sterling Martin.
Okay.
Because there's been a Martin in every question so far.
True.
It makes sense for that to continue. Plus, it's the first thing that popped in your head. So I think that we're definitely on the right track there. So then I'm thinking Martin Prado, he's definitely a journeyman. He played for a lot of NL East teams, actually. I know he played for Washington. He played for the Braves. He played for the Marlins. So I would say he's definitely a journeyman. And he was a decent starter when he did start. So I could see him getting an All-Star nod, especially around 2010. I don't know what that clue means.
I don't know what that clue means either. I feel like that there's got to be something good.
When I first saw it, I was like, all right, does his name have something to do with swimming? I'm trying to think, I'm like, is it presumably, like, or is it that he swam because his name is like, you know, is this David Swimmer? Not David Schwimmer. Or, you know what I mean? That then I'm like, or does it mean that the teams that he went to were so close to each other that he could just swim? And I'm like, I don't know if he went from the Rays to the Marlins and he could just swim.
He could have, I mean, I guess.
But I also know, like I said, he played for the Nationals, so I don't think that would quite work out for him, swimming.
I feel like it's going to be a great clue once we figure out why it's there, but I, for the life of me, don't know why it's there, and that bugs me, but...
Is Prado Spanish for swim?
It is not.
Just trying to figure out again what the clue would be.
And I always say that because I also had that same thought, and I was trying to think, and I was like, no, it is not. But Nadar, I think Nadar is Spanish to swim.
Yes, correct. I don't know that I can come up with another Martin or Martine. I don't know that there's anything else. You want to just go with it?
Yeah, I mean, we got nothing better.
All right, checking in. Sterling Martin Prado.
And four score and too many years ago, what did you check in with?
Taco, very sneaky. So the first three were Martin, Martin, and Martin in various pronunciations. And then suddenly it hit us. This one's not Martin, but it's Marlin. It's the guy's name is Sterling Marlin. And It's Sterling Marlin Bird because he flies and swims based on what kind of bird it is. So we're pretty sure it's Sterling Marlin Bird.
One team is getting points. Yes. The correct answer is Sterling Marlin Bird because a marlin swims and a bird flies.
Marlin Bird made an all-star team.
Marlin Bird made an all-star team. Yes, he did. Incidentally, I was looking it up. Martin Prado also made one all-star team, and it was also 2010.
Wow.
Rough.
So a very strange coincidence there.
That is rough.
Prado is Spanish for meadow, for those of us. That's my flavor text is on or the wrong answer. All right. So after the first quarter, Skill-O-Matic has 75, and Fourscore and Too Many Years Ago has 100.
We wanted to let you know that we are on Patreon if you'd be interested in supporting us financially. Your contributions will be used to help us cover the costs that it takes to bring you the high-quality sports trivia you have come to expect from us. There's also some great perks that come with the Patreon membership to the Benchwarmers Trivia Podcast, including bonus episodes and Benchwarmers swag. You can find us at patreon.com/benchwarmerstp. Thanks.
We will now move to the second quarter, which is Flop, Turn, and River.
Flop, Turn, and River. For this quarter, there will be three questions consisting of five clues. The first three clues will be given before the teams decide if they want to check in with their guests. The last two clues will be given one at a time, with teams deciding if they want to check in with their guests after each subsequent clue. If a correct answer is checked in after the first three clues, the team will receive 50 points. After the fourth clue, 30. And after the fifth clue, 20.
It's really gonna be this guy CV thing. He's just gonna read out trades. And
I've been teasing that one for
I know.
A while. I did already tell Josh earlier in the day that there was not.
I know that's why I said there's not gonna be a CV with trades, but there might be a Flop, Turn, River with trades.
I wouldn't outright lie to Josh. Would I like obfuscate with Josh? Sure. But I'm like gonna outright lie to him.
You already lulled these guys into a false sense of like Martin security. So, you know,
all right. Question number one in Flop, Turn, and River. What sports venue am I? The Flop. I was the site of Herbert Hoover's acceptance speech for the 1928 Republican presidential nomination. Brazil went 3-0 in matches here en route to their 1994 World Cup win, including a knockout stage win over the United States. The U.S. got a measure of revenge 5 years later, defeating Brazil 2-0 in the 1999 Women's World Cup semifinal here. And I hosted my first regular season NFL game on October 22nd, 1989.
Taco, we're going to check in.
Okay. Skill-Matic has checked in. Fourscore and Too Many Years Ago. Talk it out, whether you want to take the turn or give me an answer.
Yeah, missing a letter in there, but you know.
Yeah. So we're on the beat of this. We're sort of piecing together the clues here. So Herbert Hoover went to Stanford. I even feel like this is a weird fact, but I remember that there was the question that I asked very early on about schools that have had both presidents graduate from them and Super Bowl winning quarterbacks, and Herbert Hoover went to Stanford. Now, I don't know why that would have been the answer to this, but to have a football stadium all the way back to 1928, it had to have been a place that you know there's going to be nice weather, or it was inside. But then we sort of pieced together. I know there were games in Palo Alto during the 1994 World Cup. I tracked that one closer than most because it was here. And the October 22nd, 1989 makes sense because of the earthquake. The big earthquake in San Francisco during the World Series would have been right about there, and they could have easily moved the Niners game to Palo Alto. So I think that means that we're on to Stanford Stadium. Does that sound reasonable, Josh?
That sounds more than reasonable. You had more of that, but after you put the first couple pieces together, and as you were typing, it would have been right after the earthquake, and I texted and I, you know, chatted over earthquake. That all makes sense. I don't know what else you would need to to piece together for this. So I say go with it.
Okay. Then we'll check in with Stanford Stadium.
Okay. And Skillmatic, what did you check in with?
You know, we were in the same geographic area. We also picked up on the October 89 area and thought that had to do with the earthquake. We hope they move to a slightly larger venue, though, and we went with the Rose Bowl.
Okay. Let's go over the turn in the river before we reveal these answers here. The turn would have been when I was selected as the host venue for the Super Bowl, I had no lights and no dressing rooms. And the river is the single game record for passing touchdowns thrown here is 6, accomplished by John Elway in 1980 versus Oregon State. The correct answer is Stanford Stadium. Right after the 1989 earthquake, the Niners played just one regular season game at Stanford Stadium because Candlestick Park was unusable because there was damage from the earthquake, and also the World Series was getting rescheduled around at the exact same time. And yeah, Herbert Hoover, notoriously bad president, went to Stanford. Just like to point out that he was an awful president and he went to Stanford. Go Bears. Question 2 in Flop, Turn, and River. What is this? The flop. This has happened 735 times in Major League Baseball history. This happened to Ron Wright of the Seattle Mariners in his only MLB game. And it is possible for this to occur without the ball being touched by a defensive player.
Man, Seattle Mariners legend, Ron Wright. We're going to take another clue.
Okay, Skillmatic has chosen to take the turn. 4 score and too many years ago, you can check in an answer or you can take the turn.
What do you think, Josh?
I kind of like what you were thinking, but I'm...
Let's check it in. I'm feeling bold.
All right, go for it.
All right, we will check in.
Okay, 4 score and too many years ago has checked in an answer, so this turn is just for Skillmatic. This happened twice in 2023. In the third inning of a Braves-Red Sox game on July 25th, and in the ninth inning of an August 18th game between the Angels and the Rays.
I don't know if that helps me. 735 times, Ron Wright, it's possible to occur without the ball being touched by a defensive player. It happened twice this past season.
Yeah, random regular season baseball games in 2023 may be the thing I know the least about. So
Same. Certainly anything to do with the Angels.
I could have been at one of these games and not remembered this happened. So.
Well, if the Tampa game with the Angels was in Tampa, no one was there. So,
well, yeah, as opposed to the crowds the Angels draw.
Right. Well, they had the Ohtani crowd. That's it. Again, it's not rare. 735 times is, I mean.
It's, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's that's a lot more than, you know, a perfect game. Like, this is something that has happened a lot.
I mean, is it triple play?
But even if it was like an unassisted triple play, the defense.
Oh, it's definitely not an unassisted one because there's no way there's been that many of those. But it could have just been.
No, yeah, for sure.
But I don't know how you'd do that without somebody touching the ball. I don't.
Yeah, it's like Braves.
It can happen at any point in the game because obviously it happened in the third and the ninth. So it's not like an end of game situation necessarily.
And it happened to Ron Wright. Don't forget that.
Oh, well, yeah, that's at the forefront of my mind. I'll never forget that.
I have nothing, so.
I don't think we should belabor this anymore. Let's just get the last one and put ourselves out of our misery.
Yep, that's what we're going to do, Taco.
Okay, so Skillmatic is taking the river. So here we go with the river. The most common way for this to happen is the 5-4-3 variety, but it has been done by one player unassisted 15 times, most recently by Eric Bruntlett of the Phillies in 2009.
So it's the triple play then?
I would think so.
Yeah, I think that's the right number.
I was going to say for a triple play, 5-4-3 is definitely the most common triple play. And I think I remember Eric Bruntlett doing one because it's Eric Bruntlett and you don't remember him for much else. So
you don't for any of the unassisted triple plays other than the fact they did it. Like, I think was it Mickey Moradini had one in the 90s for the Phillies? I think
Raphael Furcal had one. He was at least a guy. But yeah, I think, yeah, let's do that. We'll check in with a triple play.
Okay, Skillmatic has checked in triple play after the river and 4 score and too many years ago. What did you check in with after the flop?
So we also thought it was a triple play, but we were not completely convinced, but we decided to take a chance. We were trying to figure out, Josh asked me how it could happen without anybody touching the ball as a defense. And the only thing I could think of off the top of my head was if the bases are loaded and a guy hits the ball in the gap and the three guys manage to flub it and all run past each other, they'd all be called out without anybody ever touching the ball. So I'm sure that's never happened on a triple play. But in any case, we checked in a triple play.
Both teams are getting their points. The correct answer is triple play. Ron Wright played his only MLB game in 2002. He went 0-for-3. He struck out, he hit into a double play, and he hit into a triple play.
Oof!
meaning that his career outs per at-bat is an average of 2. He's also, according to Wikipedia, the only MLB player to ever play his only major league game as the DH. This has been the Ron Wright Hour on the Benchwarmers.
Mariners legend.
That's my hero.
Into Ron Wright. Marcus Ellis has Ron Wright's jersey in his closet. And in order for a triple play to occur without a defensive player touching the ball, yes, David, theoretically that could happen, is if the bases were loaded, the guy on third like just decides he's not going to move and all three other players run past him. But the other way that it could happen is this. Two runners on, there's an infield pop-up. The batter is automatically called out via the infield fly rule. While the ball's in the air, the back runner passes the front runner on the base paths. Then the pop fly comes down and hits the front runner.
You know what? My scenario of the guy rounding of the guy on third falling down and everybody running past him is way more likely than that nonsense.
I don't know. I went to a lot of 2000s Kansas City Royals games. I definitely could have seen them do that. So.
All right. And the final question in Flop, Turn, and River. This is a who am I? I have the highest career WAR of any player who appeared on the Hall of Fame ballot and received 0 votes. I am one of 2 players to have given up a home run to both Hank Aaron and Barry Bonds. Rick Rushel is the other. I did not pitch in the National League until my 21st and final Major League season.
That first fact is like, it's got Lux trivia written all over it.
Yeah,
it does.
Yes.
Yes.
Surprised you don't know that just right off the top.
I know. I should. I'm sure at some point I've wondered things like that.
We'll check in.
Whoa.
Okay. Skillmatic has checked in. 4 score and too many years ago. You can talk it out.
Wow. All right. So Hank Aaron's last year was around 77. By then he was went back to Milwaukee and he was the DH for the Brewers. Bonds was a rookie in
86.
So actually, that's not even that big of a gap. But whoever this is, they probably went to the NL at the tail end of their years. That's when he picked up Barry Bonds. But it was somebody that must have pitched so most of the 70s, a good chunk of the 80s.
We have a pretty comfortable lead if we want to try and, you know, get another clue.
Yeah, let's take another one if that's all okay.
Right.
I don't have
anything right now.
Okay, we'll take another clue.
Okay, the turn will be for 4 score and only for 4 score. Here we go, the turn. An obvious nod to Spawn Insane and Pray for Rain. A saying involving me went blank and Ryan and 2 days of crying.
Okay, so it's somebody who pitched for the Angels in that era. It's got to be Frank Tanana, or as Chris Berman used to call him, Frank Tanana Daiquiri. It's Frank Tanana. I'm 100% positive.
He pitched a long time.
He did pitch a long time, and I don't remember who he pitched for in the NL at the end of his career, but I know he pitched. He was the Angels in the most of the 70s. Then he had I feel like he came to the Red Sox for a brief stop, but then he was with the Rangers.
He was with the Tigers for a long time.
Yeah.
In the 80s.
And he was a strikeout machine, and so that actually makes perfect sense. It's got to be, because if it's somebody, obviously it's with somebody that was with Ryan in the AL, so it wasn't somebody with Ryan.
Right.
It's Frank Tanana Daiquiri. Absolutely. Yeah. We'll check that in.
Okay. And Skillmatic, what did you check in after the flop?
Yeah, this one's on me. I jumped the gun on this one. I've definitely heard this fact before. Thought I had this cold. We picked the wrong long lasting picture. We went with Charlie Huff.
Oh.
Who was around a long time, and I know there's something about him that he did want something with both of those players too, but I don't think it's this now that I think about it. But that's what we checked in with.
Okay. And just for posterity, here is the river. I hold the Angels single season record for strikeouts by a left-handed pitcher. The correct answer is Frank Tinanadeckery. Okay. So after the second quarter, we have the following scores. Four score and too many years ago has 230 points. Skillmatic trailing, but there's still time to catch up. They have 95. That brings us to halftime.
It is now time for the halftime show. There will be three entertainment questions. Each question is worth 25 points.
And this halftime show could be a great equalizer. We will see. For this halftime show, is going to be all about athletes name dropped in rap lyrics.
Oh, God.
This is Matt's wheelhouse.
So we have a shot.
I'm going to give you a rap lyric with the athlete's name redacted, and all you have to do is tell me the athlete's name.
Well, good for us. A lot of things rhyme with Frank Tanana.
So I think we've got true. But got how many rhyme with Sterling Marlin, though? So that's really the question.
George Carlin.
Yeah, that's true.
Ah, there you go. All right. Question one of halftime. This is from Royce da5'9" on the song Prime. But I'm balling. I can afford to hire somebody to try and break all of their legs like blank.
Yeah, we're gonna check in.
Okay, Skillmatic has checked in. Fourscore and too many years ago. Please talk about rap lyrics.
Well, this is just the flop, so we get two more clues on this one.
So, I mean, the only thing I'm thinking about is like, you know, to hire somebody to break all their legs. You know, that's right. But I know that Tanya Harding didn't do the hiring, but you know.
I mean, that seems reasonable. You know, for some reason, I went straight to, I was thinking of breaking legs, like breaking ankles, and I was trying to think of like Tim Hardaway or somebody like that. But Tanya Harding makes much more sense.
But does that make sense for a rap lyric?
What do I know? I mean, it's poetry, right? I mean, it could be anything. I sure, Tanya Harding, let's do it. It rhymes with a lot of things. Let's do it.
And Skillmatic, what did you check in with?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know this particular Royce song, but... I mean, we also went with Tanya Harding. Makes sense. Rhymes. So hopefully that's it.
Correct answer is, but I'm ballin'. I can afford to hire somebody to try and break all of their legs like Tanya Harding. Points to both teams.
Where's the rhyme? I missed
that. It's the way you say somebody.
Somebody. Tanya Harding.
Oh, geez.
Tanya Harding. If you're from Boston, it rhymes.
It's an internal rhyme.
It's
advanced stuff. Oof. All right. Wow. Question two of halftime. An artist you might have heard of, Nelly, from the Pimp C track, Cut It Out. We don't call paint shiny. We call paint wet. A blank colored coupe. Call that a Met.
We're going to check in.
Okay. Skillmatic has checked in. Old guys, talk about rap some more.
That's a whole podcast that I want to happen.
I would watch. I would listen.
Old guys talk about rap.
All right. You ready?
Sure.
I mean, this is about as far-fetched as I've got for you, okay?
Uh-huh.
So I was confused when I heard him read it, call that a Met. But Met is capitalized, which means it's got to be somebody that's a Met. And I'm trying to think of who would be an appropriate color for a coupe. And I came up with Daryl Strawberry.
I was just going to say Daryl Strawberry?
That's the only guy I know that would be, I mean, you'd have a red-colored coupe, right? I mean, that would make sense. Strawberry-colored
coupe.
That's
the only thing that came to my mind as we were talking about it too. So let's check that in. Daryl Strawberry.
And Skillmatic, what did you check in with?
I'm upset because I don't want them to get things right because they're my competition, but I'm also very proud of them. Yeah, we also checked in with Strawberry.
Points to both teams. We don't call paint shiny. We call paint wet. A Daryl Strawberry colored coupe. Call that a Met. Very good. The final question of halftime. Who is name dropped in this lyric from Pharoah Monch on the track Official? Rap please us, deliver scriptures similar to Jesus that you couldn't catch if you was blank.
Can I do this so that we can let them talk this out?
Which one? What are we going with?
This, I think. That at least combines all the crap we threw together.
Sure. Are you going to want me to talk this one out?
Yes, please. With you, right?
Okay. All right. You can check us in, but I'll talk
all right. All right, we will check in.
Okay, Waldorf and Statler have checked in, and it's time for Skillmatic to talk it out.
I don't think we have anything.
I said this is bad. I feel like
we're about to get schooled by these two.
Yeah, it's gonna be. We might, like I said, we might just have to leave the game as if they get this right. We might just have to try another day.
Not familiar with the song. I mean, I've heard of Pharaohmont, but I wouldn't say I'm familiar with his work. The only thing I've got is Revis in it because it rhymes with Jesus.
Yeah, so
I don't know that I don't like the time frame fit.
I don't like the time frame fit. It doesn't really fit the clue very
right.
well. Or the line
that you couldn't catch.
But, yeah, but I don't have anything better.
Yeah. All right. Unfortunately, we're going to check in with Revis.
Okay. And Fourscore and Too Many Years Ago, what did you come up with?
Okay. So I'm glad you also guys went down the triple rhyming scheme because David was not familiar that there could be a triple rhyming scheme.
Oh, Jesus, David.
And so I'm at least with it enough to know that you can have a triple rhyming scheme in poetry or rap. We also were looking for something that rhymed with Jesus, and we're like, okay, is it a wide receiver, tight end, a actual catcher? And with trying to come up with anything that either rhymes with or loosely rhymes with, couldn't really come up with a wide receiver or a tight end. But first, when I put in about it rhymes with Jesus, I got an Alex Rodriguez, and then I said Yvonne, because he's actually a catcher. So, no clue, but it works, I think, with the triple rhyming scheme. We're checking in with Yvonne Rodriguez.
The better answer.
That's a much better answer.
The full lyric goes like this. Rap please us, deliver scripture similar to Jesus that you couldn't catch if you was Yvonne Rodriguez.
No way.
All right. Well, thanks, guys. Thank you.
The funny thing is they're rage quitting and I'm going to mic drop. I mean, so this game is over no matter what.
We're going to go to running clock in the third quarter.
Scott, we are getting ethered in this game.
Nice. Pharaohmont on this song official. I feel like he just made a bet with somebody on how many athletes and sports references he could drop in one song. Because in addition to that line, he also drops Raul Mondesi, a Ray Ordonez reference. Thomas Hearns is in there. And my personal favorite line, which is, in your speaker, destroy your woofers, mids, and tweeters. Not Wolverine, but still I holds claws like Shamiqua. All right. At the end of halftime, here are our scores. Fourscore and Too Many Years Ago has 305, and Skillmatic has 145. It's now time for the third quarter, which for this episode is 5-on-3.
Five on three. For this quarter, there will be three categorized lists containing five items, where each item is worth 10 points. The teams will attempt to guess as many items as they can. However, if a team has an incorrect guess, they will receive 0 points for that list.
Question one in 5-on-3. Please give me the five pitchers with the most strikeouts in the 2010s. And note, there is a two-way tie for fifth, so there are six possible answers here, but please only submit up to a maximum of five.
I got to get my head back on straight.
That it really matters, but if we happen to submit five and six, will we get credit for both?
I will give credit for if you give both five and six, I'll give credit
okay.
for both.
Okay. Just one. I mean, who cares? But okay, I'm just curious how you're doing it. Okay.
Also, David, how do you know what rage quitting is?
Oh, come on.
That's like a video game thing.
Dude.
Now.
Video games before you were born.
Yeah, but were they the type that you would rage quit?
Probably not. I mean, it's not like we played massive like online
that's what
multiplayer
I, right.
games. Yeah.
You can rage. You can rage quit them, but it's not like the game is going to get offended. It's not like. Both of the pixels will get offended.
I say Pong keeps going.
I certainly know the term, but if I didn't before Tuesday night, no, before last Sunday night, Josh threatened to rage quit the game I was hosting about four times. So I cut them all out, but yeah. Wait, there's a tie for an exact tie for number. I just realized I'm just piecing this together because I wasn't really thinking about it before. For number of strikeouts in 10 years, there's an exact tie.
There is an exact tie.
That's interesting.
That's kind of crazy.
Yeah, that is crazy.
It is.
Is Ron Wright one of them?
So, yeah,
no, it's not. Ron, he was a DH legend.
He struck out. He struck out.
Yeah, he wasn't a two way player.
Mm. He probably should have just struck.
Maybe if he was a pitcher, he'd have a better career. After retiring from baseball, Ron Wright went back to school and earned a degree in pharmacy at Idaho State. He's now a pharmacist, according to his Wikipedia.
I hope he's a little more successful at pharmacy than he was at. Although averaging 2 outs per at bat is pretty impressive.
Impressive enough to get him on this podcast.
He really took take 2 of these and call me in the morning.
If you think about it, that's virtually impossible to uphold because have to have guys on base just to be able to. You have to come up with guys on base every single time to make that happen.
Literally the only person in Major League history who's I could have a better stat line than if I just stood there for 3 at bats.
Right,
that's true.
It's true.
Yeah, it does make you think anyone can make the major leagues, right?
We're gonna check in.
Okay, 4 score and too many years ago has checked in. Skillmatic, talk it out.
We got a ton of names.
Yeah,
I think it's just we have 4 that we feel confident in.
Agreed.
Ironically, pairs of teammates.
Yeah,
in a couple different ways actually. So we have Greinke, Verlander, Kershaw, and Scherzer. Which, yeah, I would imagine they're all in there.
They all pitch most of the decade too, which helps.
They all pitch, yeah. Well, yeah, Greinke, Verlander pitched the entire decade for sure. Kershaw came up
early
2009-ish. Yeah, so I think he actually probably pitched the whole decade, and then Scherzer was right there too. So I definitely think those are guys.
I agree. And then after that, it's tough. It's between people who have were just around the whole time, high strikeout percentage guys, and people who had maybe were at the tail end of their careers that hung on long enough to get this. So
yeah, right. That's what I was saying. Yeah. Guys that stuck around are like your John Lester's, Cole Hamels, Johnny Cueto.
Right.
Or there's guys, like I said, I think Yu Darvish could be a dark horse because he wasn't around the entire decade, but he was striking out, over 200 guys every season. But I think we just probably just go with the 4, right, to be safe.
Yeah, because that doesn't even take into account, she also have, Madison Bumgarner was pretty good for a long time. And, there's so many other random pitchers that could be on this list. Chris Sale. Exactly.
Even Adam Wainwright was around the entire decade. So, yeah, there's.
Yeah, he's pitched for, 35 years. So, he certainly could have been on this list.
So, it's probably better to go with the 4. I'm still kind of in shock from the halftime. The last question of halftime, not the entire half. Great halftime. But last one.
Yeah. Let's just not speak about that anymore. Yeah, let's just go with those 4 and move on.
All right. Taco, we're checking in. Zach Greinke, Justin Verlander, Clayton Kershaw, and Max Scherzer.
Okay. And 4 score and too many years ago, what did you check in with?
Yeah, so we agreed very quickly. Josh hit me right away with Scherzer, Kershaw, Verlander, which those are the guys we're pretty convinced have to be there, if not in the top 3. Then we threw out a bunch of names overlapping with these guys, but we ultimately checked in with Scherzer, Verlander, Kershaw, and Sale.
Both teams are getting their points.
Oh, nice.
Here's the lists. Max Scherzer, first, 2,452 strikeouts. Second is Justin Verlander with 2260. In third, Clayton Kershaw, 2179. In fourth, Chris Sale, 2007 strikeouts. And then the tie for fifth place on the list, Zach Greinke with 1872, along with Cole Hamels with 1872. Mm. Rounding out the top 10, John Lester with 1868, just missing the list. David Price with 1867, Madison Bumgarner with 1784, and then in 10th, Felix Hernandez with 1714. So Very nicely done. Both teams scoring 40 points. Second list in 5-on-3. Please give me the top five NBA players with the most free throw attempts in the 21st century, beginning with the 2000-2001 season.
Wow. Oh, my God.
And this is just regular season free throw attempts.
All right, we're going to check in.
All right. Fourscore and Too Many Years Ago has checked in. Skillmatic, talk it out.
I don't know. Let's go with those four. Let's go LeBron, Kobe, Dirk, and Duncan. And we'll check those four in.
Okay. And Fourscore and Too Many Years Ago, what did you check in?
David was real kind, and he said, LeBron, your turn. So,
wow, David, gentlemen.
We talked about a lot of similar names. LeBron, Kobe. I really think that the hack of Dwight was still pervasive and he played for a long time. I know he was coming off the bench in those last bunch of years, but still. And I think Harden, they changed the rule because of him. They changed that you can't just kick your foot out and get a foul called anymore, because he did it forever and got the calls. I think he has to be in that list. Seriously, when you get a rule change because of the way you play. So we're going with four. We're checking in with LeBron, Kobe, Dwight Howard, and James Harden.
One team is getting points. Here's the list. Number one with 11,272 free throws, LeBron James. Second with 9,455, Dwight Howard. Third with 8,805 is James Harden. Fourth with 8,693 is Kobe Bryant. The fifth name, at least Skillmatic didn't mention them. I don't know if it got thrown around in the chat with the other team, but fifth on the list, Paul Pierce.
Mm. Oh, no,
really?
7,933. Rounding out the top 10, Kevin Durant, Carmelo Anthony, Dirk Nowitzki, Russell Westbrook, Dwayne Wade. Tim Duncan is 12th.
Whoa.
On that list. Of those top 12, D Wade, the only person to make the top 12 in fewer than 1,000 games.
Yeah.
So if he had played more, he'd probably be in the top five or near it.
Yeah.
All right. Pierce,
wow.
The final list in 5-on-3. Please give me the top five career passing yards leaders in USC football history.
Sorry to Lux this. You do mean Southern California, not South Carolina, right?
I do mean the University of Southern California.
Okay.
That's fair.
The USC that everybody knows is USC.
Out here, you see USC sweatshirts and it throws me every time, because to me, USC is the USC. But yes. We're going to check in.
Fourscore and Too Many Years Ago has checked in. Skillmatic, talk it out.
All right, you want to go Leinart, Palmer, Barkley, and stop there? Or do you want to throw in Caleb Williams? I'm starting to think maybe more so that he might actually be on there. Because it seems like an answer that's like, oh, no way. And then.
Yeah.
Like Paul Pierce on a free throw. You know what I mean? It's like.
I don't think Paul Pierce is on this list. I'm pretty confident on that, but
no,
not 100% anymore.
Yeah, right.
I know.
He is a Southern California boy.
He's a Jayhawk at heart. So
that's true too.
Yeah, let's put him on there. Let's do it. We're like I said, nothing has gone right so far, so he's probably not on the list. But let's just try it.
Right, much like Caleb, we're gonna do those four.
Yeah, much like Caleb Williams' second season, we're going to try and avert disaster, but probably fail. We'll go with the four that we went with, Leinart, Barkley, Palmer, Williams.
Okay, and Fourscore and Too Many Years Ago, what did you check in with?
So we Well, obviously, a lot of those names we couldn't come up with. Kessler. That was the one that was like, who is after Barkley?
I don't think he's on this list though, so I think you're okay.
I don't. Yeah, you know, well, he was. I think he was. Wasn't he a 4-year start? Like, that's the thing is, like, thing for us, Caleb Williams. Yes, he's thrown a ton in those two seasons. But two seasons, that scares me from him. So we only checked in with three, with Palmer, Leinart, and Barkley.
Okay, let's go through the list here. Number one with 12,327 career yards is Matt Barkley. Number two on the list, 11,388, is Carson Palmer. Number three, 10,693, is Matt Leinart. Number four, 10,339, is Cody Kessler.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And number five, with 8,170 yards, is Paul Pierce. No. Number five with 8,170 yards is Caleb Williams.
Mm.
Ah.
Both teams getting points on this one. Scott, you were looking for the Kessler to Caleb Williams pipeline.
Guys, yeah.
It went Sam Darnold.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Duh.
Who is ninth on the list, to JT Daniels, to Keaton Slovis.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Nice.
That's a stupid name. Keaton Slovis.
Yep. Keaton Slovis, eighth on the list, just behind Rodney Pete.
Oh.
With Rob Johnson, sixth.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm. And Caleb Williams in his Heisman year actually had over 4,500 yards. Absolutely dealing in that Heisman season. So.
Oh, please go to the game. I never thought I'd say that.
Hey, points to both teams. We love to see it. Okay, after the third quarter, we have the following scores. Fourscore and Too Many Years Ago has 415. Skillmatic, 225. That brings us to the fourth quarter.
The fourth quarter, known as Put Your Fours Up. This quarter consists of four categorized questions that teams will wager up to 100 points each, not to exceed their current point total.
And for this fourth quarter, we're starting something new in the Tacoverse. We are starting the Continental Series, a six-part series, because I'm not going to be able to write four questions about Antarctica. All questions in tonight's fourth quarter are going to deal with athletes from a particular continent. This continent we are dealing with for this episode is South America. Here are your categories: baseball, tennis, auto racing, American football. It is now time for the teams to place their wagers.
We'd like to take a minute to invite you to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at BenchwarmersTP. We also have a Facebook group for fans of the pod called The Bench. Join us there to comment on the latest episodes and share cool sports facts and trivia. If you'd be willing to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher, we'd greatly appreciate the support so that other people may find this podcast. Thanks.
Now that the wagers are in, on to the questions. Question one in the fourth quarter, all about South America. In the category of baseball, name all three South American players to win the MLB MVP. They all hail from the same country.
All right, we're going to check in.
Okay. Fourscore and Too Many Years Ago have checked in. Skillmatic, talk it out.
Did Juan Soto win the MVP 2 years ago or not?
Wow, how do I not remember already?
Yeah, I know. I know
it would have been 21, right?
Somewhere in there. I mean, because, well, yeah, it would have had to have been.
Because
Freddie Freeman won in the COVID year.
Yeah, Goldschmidt won it in 22. So it would have had to have been 21 if he did. And, yeah, it would have been his last year with Washington.
Mm-hmm. I can't remember if he won it or not. Oh.
I want to say he didn't, but he very well could have.
Yeah, I just can't remember if he did or not. I like the other. I mean, Pujols definitely won several Cabrera won two.
Pujols should have won more, but Barry Bonds, whatever.
Agreed.
Yeah, Pujols, Cabrera for sure have won MVP awards. Big Papi hasn't.
Vlad Sr., Vladimir Guerrero, did he win one?
Yeah, he beat Sheffield in 04.
Did he win it?
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Is he from South America?
I think he's from the Dominican Republic.
Okay, well, I mean, there's only three, so if we know that right. Guerrero won one, then it's got to be those three.
Guerrero definitely won the 2004 AL MVP.
Okay, that's what I thought.
For sure.
Which means that my original thought of Roberto Clemente must not have won one, although I could have sworn he won one.
I thought he did, and like...
I thought he won 60s. I thought he won in 70, but like if I had to put money, I would have thought he was... But I could be wrong about that.
Be surprised if he didn't win one.
If we know there are three players who have definitively won MVPs and we think that they're all from South America, I mean, I guess it'd be from, I guess the Dominican Republic is not part of South America though. It's Central America.
Right.
So it's not going right.
to geographical semantics. Yeah.
So it's going to be from the actual. Who else?
Right. So it would, yeah. So maybe that takes Vladdy out.
So Miguel Cabrera is from Venezuela, right?
I think maybe? So. I think so. I think I'd go Cabrera. I don't know.
Who am I? I'm trying to think who I'm missing then.
Cabrera, Pujols, Clemente, Guerrero, possibly Soto. What about, it's not going to be any pitchers that won MVP, right? Like,
no.
Juan Santana just won Cy Young.
Just won the Cy Young.
Yeah.
Pedro didn't win an MVP.
Now, only a few pitchers have. And
he should have, but did not.
Verlander, and, yeah. Where's Jose Altuve from?
It's a great question. I don't know the answer to that.
He has an MVP.
He does. Oh, he definitely could be.
Yeah. Man, I don't know. It's yes. putting out three of them, and
yeah, he also made
the right three.
I think we're approaching decision time, fellas.
Okay.
Taking our talent to South Beach.
Oh, different well done. Well done.
Take your talents to South America.
Yeah, maybe we'd win an MVP.
Okay. So we should go with Miguel Cabrera because he's definitively from South America.
Yep.
We should go with, I don't know where Vlad's from.
Thought he was from the DR. I kind of feel like he's from Dominican Republic.
Okay, then we should go with Jose Altuve, and we should go with, I don't think Pujols is from Venezuela, though.
I don't think so. No, I don't think he is either.
But
I think Pujols might be Puerto Rican.
Who's the third? Then Juan Soto? I mean,
yeah. All right. He's the one of the list, yeah. Let's do that.
Okay, we'll check in with those three.
Okay, so that was Altuve, Cabrera. Soto?
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
For 100.
For 100 points. And Fourscore and Too Many Years Ago, what did you check in with?
These guys were so close, I think. But I think they're missing one of the key things in the question, which is that all three are from the same country. So I went first to Cabrera because I know he's from Venezuela. Got quickly to Altuve. Actually, he was the third guy I got. The other guy from Venezuela is the most recent. That'd be Acuna. Junior. So those are the three that we checked in with. Altuve, Acuna, and who did I just say? Cabrera. Sorry. Yeah.
For 100.
Thank you.
One team is getting their points. Yeah, it is Miguel Cabrera in 2012 and 2013, Altuve in 17, and then Ronald Acuna Jr. just this past winter won his first MVP. And yes, all of them are from Venezuela. I was a little worried there for a second when we went down the Dominican Republic in South America train, but Matt got us off of that and you almost got there. Okay. Question two in the fourth quarter in the category of tennis. Name either South American player to hold the ATP world number one ranking in men's tennis. Both players, one Chilean and one Brazilian, accomplished the feat between 1998 and 2001.
We're going to check in.
Fourscore and Too Many Years Ago has checked in. Skillmatic, talk it out for 30 seconds or so.
I know the Chilean guy. I can remember things about him, but the name is just not coming to me. This is so frustrating.
I'll know the names when I hear them, but like David said, this is that era right before like tennis, men's tennis got really popular again.
Yeah, I mean, this is Goran Ivanisevic was like that era was winning majors. Like the people, just like the randos that filled in between Sampras Legacy and then Juan Manuel something. Like I feel like it's a three name. I told you earlier, I thought it was a three name person, and I just
I threw out Jonathan Taylor Thomas, and Matt shot that down real quick.
Yeah, he
famous South top. American.
No, he's Dominican. He's Dominican. Don't get
confused. That makes sense. Jonathan Taylor Tomas.
Taylor Tomas.
Let's go with Juan Manuel. Assuming Manuel's the second name, right? Not the third
one.
Yeah,
that's
the third one's what we would need.
Yeah, probably. But let's just go with the last name of Manuel.
I'm good.
That's what we'll check in with.
For how many points?
25.
And four score and too many years ago. What did you check in with?
All right, I'll take in a little journey here. I remember the Brazilian guy. I could picture him. I said to Josh, it's a guy with the curly hair, and I remember that he used to celebrate with a scissor kick. It was very sort of Brazilian of him. And then Josh said any first names, and all I started spouting were names that began with G and ended with O. And I wrote Gaspacho, Geppetto, Gestapo, Gelato, and then he eventually said Gustavo, and I said, that's it. It's Cuertin, Gustavo Cuertin. So we checked in with Cuertin for, I can't remember.
64
points.
Okay. One team is getting the points. Yes, the Brazilian is Gustavo Cuertin, and the Chilean, the first South American player to reach number one in the ATP World Rankings, was Chile's Marcelo Rios.
Mm. Yes.
Mm. I'm sorry. Cuertin?
Cuertin.
Cuertin. Cuertin. As in, it's time to raise the Cuertin.
I like that you had Gazpacho and Gestapo in there.
Yes, famous tennis player, Gestapo.
Not Gelato. You only actually had one name. You had Geppetto. That's the only actual name that you had.
I have the whole rhythm of the name. Again, it's a rhythm of the name thing with me. It's always the rhythm of the name.
Gazpacho Cuertin might be the most unhinged episode title we'll ever have.
Yeah, I think that would have been Argentinian instead of Brazil, but yeah, you know.
That's Mason's second kid, right?
Gazpacho Cuertin.
Gazpacho Cuertin.
Let's keep it moving here. Okay. Question number three in the category of auto racing. Name the Colombian-born driver who is one of only two drivers to win both the Indianapolis 500 in 2000 and 2015, and the Monaco Grand Prix in 2003.
Yeah, we'll check in.
Skillmatic has checked in. Four score and too many years ago. Talk it out.
David, you had chock full of stuff, right? Do you?
I have nothing on this, but Josh came up with a very sensible sounding answer. Go ahead, Josh.
Have you not heard of him?
No, I have heard of him, but I mean, I wouldn't have pulled it. I mean, I've heard of him, sure.
So, not to belabor because we wagered zero. We are checking in with Juan Pablo Montoya.
And Skillmatic, what did you check in with?
Well, unlike them, we wagered zero and checked in with Juan Pablo Montoya.
And both teams are not getting any points because the correct response is Juan Pablo Montoya. In addition to the Indy 500 wins and the Monaco Grand Prix, he's also got two wins in the NASCAR Cup Series.
Oh.
So he's raced everywhere.
Nice.
Our final question of this game in the category of American football. Name the first Brazilian-born player in NFL history. Incidentally, his first name is a world capital city, but not Brasilia.
All right, we'll check in.
Okay. Skillmatic has checked in. So for the final time this episode, four score and too many years ago, talk it out.
They checked in too fast. I didn't get a chance to think about this.
Yeah, I was just starting to.
All right, this may sound horribly American-centric of me, but he's got to be a kicker.
I was thinking the exact same thing.
I mean, it would make sense. It's a converted, soccer player or something. Well, I don't think we should belabor this one either, because we bet zero on this one as well.
Hey, Cairo, capital of Egypt?
Yes, that's true, it is.
Cairo Santos.
Cairo Santos, very nice.
Cairo Santos for yes. The Bears.
The Bears, yes. All right, for 0 points, we'll check that in.
And Skillmatic, what did you check in?
We also checked in with Cairo Santos for 100 points.
Okay. Both teams getting it correct. One team getting some points. It is Cairo Santos, the kicker for the Chicago Bears. All right. The game has come to an end, and here are our scores. Skillmatic getting their last two questions right, although they didn't bet any points on one of them, to finish with 200 points. But our winners for this episode, the clipboard captains of the game, receiving the coveted Keaton Slovis Award, goes to Fourscore and Too Many Years Ago with 579 points. Very nicely played by all. Matt, you're our guest tonight. Anything you want to say for the good of the order?
You know, some people get a lot of questions right on this game. Some people play a Ron Wright game. And I think we know which one of us we did this week. So, you know, you win some, you lose some, but, you know, at least we didn't strike out in every at bat. So, you know, we got that going for us. It was fun. I enjoyed it. It was a well-written game, even if we struggled to remember what countries were in South America through parts of it. So I always enjoy your games. Last game, I had to parse what was a venomous animal. So it's always some learning going on in this game. So I do always enjoy them. So very well-written game, fun all around.
As I've said before, I'm trying to single-handedly drag the Benchwarmers into non-sports trivia by making them answer questions about things like world capitals against their will. All right. Anything else from the Benchwarmers before we get out of here?
Yeah, I was going to say, you guys did much better than Mariners legend Ron Wright. You guys did not average 2 outs per at-bat. So, you know, keep that in mind.
Ron Wright would have been really happy with batting 200. So, you guys did really well. All right, for Josh, David, Scott, and the rest of the Benchwarmers, I have been Taco. This has been the Benchwarmers Trivia Podcast. And until next time, we will keep the bench warm.
That ball hit high and deep. Stretch! Stretch! Get on back there. They look up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Yes.
Into deep left center for Mitchell. And we'll see you tomorrow night.
That great music you're listening to is by Justin Nozick. Thanks to him for producing that music for us. You've been listening to the Benchwarmers Trivia Podcast. Make sure to check us out on all of our social media. We are at Benchwarmers TP.